This morning we consider a familiar account from John chapter 6. We read verses 1 through 14. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a large crowd followed him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." Beloved of God, build a box-shaped boat about 4 stories high and longer than a football field. Then go out and gather some from all of the animals of the world and bring them onto that boat with you, where they're going to live with you for almost a year. Sounds impossible, but that's what Noah did. You need to move to a new land, a place where you'll be a stranger. And while you're there, your wife will give birth to a son, even though she's past her childbearing age. And when she was younger, she was unable to bear children. Sounds impossible, but that's what Abraham did. Although you are a virgin, you will become pregnant, and you will give birth to a son, and that son will be called the Son of God. Sounds impossible, but Mary believed that divine message. We read throughout the Bible of all kinds of impossible situations that God's people faced. Take, for example, Elijah faced with the 450 prophets of Baal, or Daniel in the lion's den. And yet God provided for them in those situations. Still today, we Christians face problems that are difficult that we might consider to be impossible. And during those times, we might think to ourselves, "Well, I'm not Noah or Abraham or Mary. What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to deal with the impossible situations that come into my life?" In our text, Jesus was trying to get to an isolated place to spend some time teaching with his disciples privately. This was during the end of the second year of Jesus' ministry, what was known as his year of popularity. People from all over were following him. They wanted to hear him teach, but most importantly, as our text tells us, they were following after him because of the great miracles that he had performed. So they wanted some of that for themselves, especially those miracles of healing for themselves and for their loved ones. And so when they heard that Jesus was going off to this isolated place, they followed him. And so then in this isolated place, we have the perfect setting for the sign that Jesus was about to perform. There are a lot of people there, about 5,000 men, and so when you count women and children, there might have been as many as 10 or 15,000 people there. And in this context, Jesus comes to Philip with this impossible question: "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" Text tells us that Jesus already knew what he was going to do here. And maybe Philip and the other disciples should have caught on. After all, wasn't Jesus the one who always had the answers? Think back to the wedding of Cana, for example. Jesus' mother came to him to ask him what to do about the wine shortage situation. Or when they were on the stormy sea, the disciples came to him to ask him what he was going to do about that situation. So maybe they should have caught on. But maybe they thought that, oh no, maybe this is the situation that Jesus doesn't have an answer for. Maybe this was impossible even for him. And so we see in their responses these answers that they give. Philip says 200 denarii, or 8 months' worth of wages, wouldn't be enough to buy bread for all of them to have even a little. Andrew chimes in, well, here's a boy with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, but what are they for so many? The disciples saw no way that this crowd could be fed. In essence, their response was, Lord, it can't be done. Lord, it's impossible. We've been there, haven't we? We've all faced these situations in life that we think are impossible for us to handle. How am I going to get through this semester? How am I going to get through this breakup? How am I supposed to deal with life when everything around me seems like it's falling apart? Lord, it can't be done. Lord, it's impossible. Really? We know that God can get us through all of the situations, all of the struggles that we face in life. We've got that record of Scripture. We've got the countless examples from Scripture of God getting His people not through just difficult, but impossible situations. We have that promise for us here today that He will always be with us, that He'll never forsake us. We've got that promise that He will work all things together for the good of those who love Him. And most importantly, remember how God took care of the greatest problem, the most impossible situation that we face in life, and that is our sin. Romans 8:32 says, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? If you want to talk about an impossible situation, let's talk about our sin. The payment that we owe God because of our sin. There's nothing we can do about it. It's impossible for us to do anything. But God provided the solution even for that impossible problem. He sent His Son to die on the cross to pay for our sin. His sacrifice, His death on the cross, was and remains the only answer to the guilt of our sin and the perfect payment for those sins. That's how God dealt with our biggest problem. You think He can get us through the difficult situations, the trials, the temptations that we face in this world? Of course He can. And He does. Of course, the feeding of the 5,000 wasn't an impossible situation for Jesus. He was able to provide not just for their needs, but way over what they needed. And just as He provides, as He provided for them, so He also provides for us. Not just for our daily bread, but for everything. And most importantly, for our eternal salvation. Thanks be to Him. Amen. We'll sing hymn 357, the first two verses. Hymn 347.